Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this somewhat rainy Sabbath day here in the Oregon coast. But regardless of the weather outside, we are warmed with the presence of our God in our midst, and the light of His truth shining from the face of our Savior upon us. So Sabbath blessings, one and all, and welcome to those listening on the phone and those listening to the recording. And it's good to be in fellowship with you all. It's time for opening prayer, and our dear sister Ceresia will offer that for us.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads in our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your precious name. Lord Jesus, thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for loving us and for being merciful to us and for keeping us and for guiding us, dear Father, and for forgiving us and having such abundant mercy upon our lives, dear Father God. Thank you for showing us the way, dear Father God, and for keeping us strong when we are weak, dear Father God. Thank you for just being a wonderful God in all things, a God that never disappoints, dear Father God, and help us to lean onto that and not to our own understanding of anything, dear Father, I pray. Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts and our ears and our hearts and our minds so that we can really sit and sap with you this day, dear Father, so that we may not have a closed ears or a closed heart to the word of God, that our blessing may not be lost, dear Father God, on this great memorial day of yours, dear Father, I pray. Let not one person, whether they be present with us or not with us today, dear Father God, not be comforted by your Holy Spirit this day. Prepare our hearts, dear Father God, as only you can, dear Father God. Prepare us in a way, dear Father God, that we have a joy and a peace that surpass all of our understandings, dear Father God, I pray. Forgive me for my sins and my iniquities and my shortcomings, because they are plenty, dear Father God. But I thank God that you came for me, a sinner, dear Father, and that you love me, a sinner, dear Father. And thank you for loving all of us, dear Father God, and for keeping us, dear Father God, I pray. Please bless the speaker, dear Father, and the lessons that we're going to hear. Please, Lord, let the Holy Spirit reign above all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. We're continuing in our study book of Desire of Ages, and we're in the last few paragraphs of chapter 31 that's titled The Sermon on the Mount. Christ pointed his people to the loving care and the merciful kindness of their heavenly Father. And he pointed them to the birds and said, you know, the birds don't gather their own food in storage. They rely upon God to provide their daily needs. The flowers of the field don't store water or sunshine. They rely upon God to provide them the moisture as well as the warmth from the rays of the sun to allow them to grow and to bloom. And then he said, of how much more value are you, a human being made in the image of God, than the flowers of the field or even the birds of the air? So this Sermon on the Mount, although it dealt with principles of Christianity, of Christian life and character, it pointed out the love of God for each one of us. So then as the sunshine imparts to the flowers all of their varied and delicate tints of color as well as the fragrance that they produce, so the same is imparted to us that we may reflect the beauty of God's character. And now we pick it up at this paragraph about halfway down on page 313 that begins, all who choose. All who choose Christ's kingdom of love and righteousness and peace, making its interest paramount to all other, are linked to the world above, and every blessing needed for this life is theirs. So how many blessings will we receive if we are connected to Christ and have his kingdom of righteousness paramount or supreme to all others? We're promised every blessing needed for this life. It didn't say we're going to get everything that we want. It said everything needed for this life, the life that is devoted to Christ and the spreading of his kingdom. Every blessing needed for this purpose and goal is ours. Continuing. In the Book of God's Providence, the volume of life, we are each given a page. That page contains every particular of our history. Even the hairs of our head are numbered. God's children are never absent from his mind. So now, how many of God's children are there in this world today? Say 1 million? 10 million? And yet, each one of those 10 million followers of God are never forgotten by God. They're never absent from his mind. In other words, he's always looking out for their interest and welfare. 24 hours a day, all year long. Now that's humanly impossible for us to do, but not for God. That's how much God is interested in your welfare, dear ones. That's how much he loves you. He's always thinking about you, working for your salvation, protecting you, nourishing you. He even knows how many hairs you still have on your head after you've combed it or brushed it. That's how interested he is in you. Such love is beyond human explanation. It's godly love. It's infinite love. And if God cares so much for us, then do we really have to fear anything in this life? Amen. It's perfect love. So with such perfect love manifested for you and me, should we worry about the future? Amen. Not at all. The birds go to sleep at night without a stock of food prepared for them the next day. They don't worry during the night. Their feathers don't turn gray from stress and anxiety. When they wake up in the morning, they rely 100% upon God to show them where the grain is for their breakfast, and then for their lunch and their dinner. And God takes the time to guide them where to find their food. It wasn't in the same place that it was the day before. So if God cares enough for the birds of the air to keep them alive, and how many birds are there around the world? If he cares for each one of those billions of birds, supplying their daily needs and necessities, protecting them from harm, we're of so much more value to God than they are. How much more then is God going to be interested in our welfare? So your and my God shall supply all our needs according to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus that made this all possible. That's Philippians 4:19. It's a beautiful scripture song. Let me sing it for you. Try to commit this song to memory. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need. Philippians 4:19. So God, whose love for us is perfect, will supply all our need as long as we are connected with Christ and his kingdom of righteousness is paramount to all other interests in our life. We will have all the blessings that we need to accomplish this glorious goal. And we have nothing to worry about. God will not forget us. Don't you just love him? If you recognize all that God is doing, all that he has done and will do in order that you might be saved and reunited with him, how can you ever forget God? By beholding him, you become just like him. He doesn't forget you, so you won't want to forget him. But yet the world comes in and says, hey, look at this attraction. Look at this over here. Surely you can divide your interests between loving God supreme and share some of that love of the things of the world. And step by step, inch by inch, sometimes yard by yard, the world crowds itself into our lives. And now we're dividing our attention between God and the world. Thus, we're forgetting God all the time that we're dealing with the world in our affections. Amen. We can't live without breathing. So then our faith would also die without constantly being renewed by the breath of God. So God's children, you and me, are never absent from his mind. Praise God our Father for such tender regard for even such a person as myself. And bless his holy name. Are there any thoughts or comments, any questions, anything else that you'd like to share before we go to the next paragraph? please feel free. Amen. And that's a good point. The breath of life is from God. It's given to us each morning. It's given to us all throughout the day. And amen. It is a natural thing to breathe. We shouldn't have to tell ourselves to do so. So it should be the same with our time with Christ. It needs to be habitual, a habit, to spend time each day in communion with our Savior, in reading and studying His Word, and practicing the lessons that we find. We need to learn how, like with Enoch, to walk with God. Continuing. Be not therefore anxious for the morrow. Matthew 6:34. We are to follow Christ day by day. God does not bestow help for tomorrow. He does not give His children all the directions for their life journey at once, lest they should become confused. So when God gives us the light of truth, He doesn't pour all of the truth possible upon us at one time, because we wouldn't be able to take it all in. We wouldn't be able to understand it. We would be overwhelmed and confused. So God gives us just enough light that we need at any particular time we need it, whether we think we need it or not. God does so little by little so that we have the ability through His grace and strength and wisdom to understand it, to see if we've been following it or not, and if not, to repent for our lack of obedience, and then pleading for His grace and strength to change into harmony and agreement with that light. As soon as we do so, God gives us another light, opens our understanding to another portion of His Word. And this goes on throughout our lifetime, because we're never going to know it all. We're never going to reach to the depth of all the wisdom and truth that God has available for us to learn. God is infinite. His wisdom is also infinite. So when we get to heaven, if we're faithful to the end, when we get to heaven, all of eternity, we will be learning more truths, growing in knowledge, becoming that much more like the character of our Father throughout eternity. And the more we learn about God, the more truth that we know and understand, then the more we fall in love with Him. To know God is to love Him. And thus, the more you know about God, the more you love Him. And that will go on for eternity. I mean, it's almost impossible to comprehend loving someone more and more each day forever. It's like with a marriage. You fall in love with the person and you decide to become one with them, but your love doesn't end there. It's to continue to grow. The more time you spend with them, the more your love for them grows. But on an even grander scale, our union with God through Christ, based upon love, will never reach an end. And if you think you're happy with the relationship you have with God when you reach heaven, that first day in heaven, as your love grows, your happiness will grow. Your contentment will continue to increase forever. Heaven and the new earth is going to be a marvelous experience, dear ones. And the things that God has prepared for each one of His redeemed sons and daughters is beyond the highest imagination that we can come up with as to what will make us happy and content. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of mankind the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But dear ones, we must start today with our union and loving relationship with God. We can't wait for Christ to come to get ready. We have to start now. So God does not give you and me all the directions for our life journey at one time. But He tells us just as much as we can remember and perform. So you may have read the Bible from cover to cover more than once, but you didn't learn every bit of truth contained within those pages. You learned some of it. So the next time you read the scriptures, God will open your understanding to another bit of truth, so that you can remember that and perform it through His grace and strength. And the next time you read it, more truth will be learned. So then the Bible is constantly revealing itself to you as a new book. You've read it before, but every time you read it, you learn something new. Amen. It is a living word. And that makes it fun and exciting to read the Bible, because you're always learning something new. That again is the wisdom of God, to allow us to see just the amount of truth that we need for that particular time, so that we won't forget it, but that we can instead remember it and apply it to our lives. So then if you neglect to read God's Word on a daily basis, then you're neglecting the truth that God has prepared for you right at that moment in your life. That's why it's so important that we don't allow ourselves to become so busy in the rat race, that we don't allow our attention to be diverted to the point that we neglect to spend time with God in study of His Word each day. God sees what we're going to have to meet in any given day. And he's prepared to open our understanding if we spend time in his word so that we'll have the grace, the strength, the courage, the knowledge, the wisdom to meet that particular situation that day. But if we didn't spend time in his word, then we're unprepared for what that day is going to bring to us. And we may find ourselves falling into sin, making mistakes, not correctly revealing the character of God. Amen. It's like we're missing a love note from God, and thus we're not fortified in our heart from unbelief because we haven't received that assurance that God loves us for that day. We're relying upon the assurance we got yesterday, or perhaps the grace and strength that God gave us yesterday. So then we'd be fasting and thus weakened in our spiritual walk if we didn't take the time to spend with God. So God tells us just as much as we can remember and perform in any given day. Continuing, the strength and wisdom imparted are for the present emergency. If any of you lack wisdom for today, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. So before you spend time with God and study of his word, ask for his wisdom. Claim James 1:5, and God will give you all the wisdom that you need liberally and will not upbraid, or in other words, he will not hold back. He'll give you everything that you need and more for that day. Not for tomorrow, for today, present. Tomorrow will take care of itself. When you get there, when you wake up in the morning, you spend time with God. You ask him for wisdom. You plead for his spirit to be sent to you to open your understanding in his word of life so that you'll have the strength and the wisdom to meet the emergencies that take place in that day. Our God is just so merciful, dear ones. He's doing everything possible to save you and me from destruction. He's working overtime. But he does so out of love. Truly, his tenderness, his compassion, his foresight is greater than any human father that we could have. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should become and be called the sons and daughters of God. With such love, how could you ever doubt His care for you? How could you ever mistrust His best wishes for you? And if you've given yourself into His hands unreservedly, then whatever God allows to come your way in any particular day, you know is not by mistake. It's on purpose, so that you'll be able, by relying upon the grace and the strength that you've received from God in spending your time with Him that day, you'll be able to handle and overcome any emergencies for that day. Now, we don't like emergencies, but emergencies test our training. It tests our faith in God. It tests our ability to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So without emergencies, we wouldn't be able to grow in grace. And thus, we would be that much weaker, that much ill-prepared to meet the next emergency. So God allows just the right amount of emergencies, the right amount of different situations to come to each one of us so that we can learn to trust, to rely, to depend upon God to help us gain the victory over these emergencies and thus grow more like Him in character. Fall that much more in love with Him than we did before the emergency occurred. So if we truly realize what God is trying to do with these emergencies in us, then we would joy when they would come, because it's another opportunity to gain the victory through Christ, which strengthens us, and to fall more in love with God. But if self gets in the way, then we're going to look at the emergencies and say, why? And that question opens up the door for doubt and mistrust to enter in. And thus we begin to allow our love for God to be lessened because of the doubt. So when the emergencies come, we have the opportunity to increase in love with God or to decrease. I pray that God will open our eyes that much more to see what the battle is all about, what this great controversy entails, and then to give us the fortitude to always rest our helpless souls upon God who loves us, and to keep self crucified, to keep the questions out of our minds, and just to accept the fact that God loves us and thus would not allow any emergency to come to us that was not for our best welfare, with the goal of salvation, of eternity with Him in mind. And that's the key, dear ones, to gaining the victory. Keeping our eyes focused on Him who loves us. And not allowing our gaze to be diverted onto ourselves or onto any other but our Lord. Amen. Trials, emergencies received in faith will make us better Christians and more useful to God. Amen. And I agree. Amen as well. It says, beginning to murmur and complain will make us lose twice. We lose the blessing and the hands of God moving in our lives for our salvation. Amen. And that's true. That's true. It is like a training field. God is trying to train us, starting out with just little baby steps. But then as we mature and grow older, we're able to take bigger steps, thus gaining more ground with a single stride. And then we'll be able to run. And praise God for being there to help us every step of the way. But He will not drag us to heaven. He allows us to exercise our faith, just like a child. The parents encourage them to walk, may even hold their hands as they take their first steps. But they don't always hold their hands, because the child needs to learn how to take their own steps in faith. And they fall, but then they get back up. It's the choice, the determination to conquer that area of being able to walk and not relying on sitting down or laying down. Because they won't be able to get anything done. They have to stand and walk. It's the same with each one of us, dear ones, in our walk with Christ by faith. He encourages us. He even gives us the grace and strength to walk. But it's our choice to take the first step in obedience. And then He'll give us all the grace and strength we need to take the next step until we've gained the victory over that emergency, that obstacle, that temptation or sin in our lives. And He does so out of love.
Years ago, we talked about giving thanks. I was traveling back to Loma Linda, where I was living at the time, and I got to the northern part of Los Angeles, and my car broke down, and I was all by myself. I didn't know how to fix it. And I can remember bowing my head, and I says, okay, Lord, You said to give thanks in all things. My car's broke. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how I'm going to get this all fixed up. But You said to give thanks, so I'm going to give You thanks that my car broke down, because I want to know what's going to happen. And I realized after I prayed that it didn't change the situation, but it helped me to realize that the Lord's still in control, and it helps with my attitude when I give thanks in all things. And it ended up my brother came and got me, and we got the car to a facility, and it did get all fixed. But I've never forgotten that moment when I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to test You. When You said to give thanks in all things, and this isn't something I would normally give thanks for, but I'm going to give thanks in obedience to what You've said. And that can be a hard lesson to learn, but I've never forgotten it. And it, when you do it once, it's easy to do it a second time. And I just want to share that for hoping that that can be an encouragement to somebody else.
Greetings, Saints. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. I would like to also add on to that a lesson that I had learned that, and even though being a lesson that I had experienced that I was taught years ago, again, we need to be reminded of those very things. And the situation, what was happening was that I was going through a battle and needing someone to talk to and going to and fro from different ones, trying to get in contact with different brothers and sisters and ministers to need of prayer and counsel. And I wasn't being able to make contact with anybody that was feasible. Getting in my vehicle and driving around and trying to go visit some people. And nothing seemed to be working out. And I felt the tug on my heart from the Holy Spirit and just kept on pushing it aside. And it's like, I need to see this person. I need to talk to this person and that person. Or I need to talk to someone flesh to flesh. And the Holy Spirit in His loving kindness spoke to my heart in such a loving, merciful way. And it, and like I said, it's something that needs to be reminded constantly. And the words that I heard in my spirit spoken forth was that if I'm not good enough, who is? And I just want to share that with the body here. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Robert. Yes, that is very, very, very important. That's one of the lessons also that I've learned, growing up, is that to trust in the Lord. A lot of times when you first start your walk and you're just, you know, you're just having milk and you're starting to be able to understand a little bit, and a lot of people don't realize is that literally when a child is born, you know, and the parent becomes, you know, the mother starts to breastfeed and feed the child milk, the substance inside that milk is good for brain development in the baby. And not only good for brain development, it's good for, to help the bones to mature. Now, it is used in terms in the Christian walk as a person first becomes a Christian and they first start to learn, they begin to learn Christ little by little. And it's one of those relationships where you're, getting to know Him, and He's trying to reassure us that He's always going to be there, you know, to be there for us no matter what, unconditionally, no matter, you know, He doesn't care, you know, if, you know, He knows that we're sinners. He knows everything about us. But that unconditional love that Christ shows us is so unconditional that He would never turn away from us. And the thing is that as we read and we start to learn the Word of God and we start to grow in grace and our bones become stronger, spiritually, bones represents principles. So as the principles, we start standing on those principles. It helps us to stand because it develops. But all that, you know, being said, and my Christian walk, you know, the Lord has shown me that, you know, you, as in the Bible says, we're not supposed to trust man. We're supposed to trust God. Because even those that you would think would
be by you and stand by you no matter what. They would turn, you know, against you. And you have to walk. And as the song says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. And once Christ, once you're standing on that rock, no matter what, he will keep you from falling. But if we are like Peter, and instead of facing, you know, keeping our eyes on Christ, and we look back, you know, to see others, you know, to see if, for their assurance, we will fall and we will sink. And the Lord has taught us as a family that once you have Christ, you know, he will never let you down. He will never turn away. He will always take you by the hand. And if you knew some of the testimonies, you know, growing up, we had, you know, a lot of things that we went through when there was no food in the house, or we didn't have, you know, my parents were struggling. They didn't have any money for clothes for us children. And the Lord just moved someone to just say, here. They didn't even know we needed it. They just gave. And the Bible says, the fox has holes. You know, birds of the air have nests, but the son of man has nowhere to lay his head. That was how Christ was when he was here on earth. But it also says, but concerning us, he says, consider the lilies. He said, for not even Solomon is not arrayed as one of those. You know, consider the birds and the blade of grass and our Heavenly Father even takes care of them because he knows what they need before they ask. He said, so we should not think or worry what we're going to eat for tomorrow or what we're going to wear, or, you know, God is the only provision that we have. And this has been my full life experience. So as long as I can focus on him and keep him, you know, even when things seem murky and when, you know, there's so many different things and, you know, that's there to disencourage me. God is always going to be there. And he has shown so many times, you know. For us, it's like, it's in the nick of time. But for him, it was like, that was the time he appointed for it to come. It was to help for us to build strength. And to build our relationship with him. Last thing said concerning complaints, and also have to do with the Christian walk, children of Israel, while they were in slavery, they had not known who Christ was. They forgot him. And all of those plagues that came on Egypt, that was happening to their enemies, the Lord was showing how it wasn't happening to them because he showed favor to them. He was trying to let them know that, yes, they were doing all those things to them, oppressing them and keeping them in slavery and putting them down and all of those things oppressors do to slaves when they how they talk down to them, make them feel like they're inferior, and all of those things that comes with slavery. Being beaten and mistreated and physically abused and mental abuse and all of those things. When the Lord said, enough is enough. And he starts to show his goodness. He went through all that. He sent all those plagues to save them and to show how these were his distinct people. You know? And the Egyptians saw the hand of God and were afraid because they saw how he had shown favor on those particular people no matter what they did to them. He saved them, and no one can take the glorification of what God has done. But the issue was with the people, his people, his own people that he saved after he saved them in the cross from the sea. They were complaining. And it was that complaint that after he did all of those things, that they had to wander for 40 more years in the wilderness. So that's just what I wanted to say. Okay, that's the Sabbath. God bless.
Amen. And thank you for those points, the spiritual insights, dear sister. Well, dear ones, remember, your God shall supply all your needs according to his riches, all made possible by Christ Jesus. And praise his holy name. Well, let's go ahead and stop, and we'll pick it up next time at the first paragraph on page 314. Judge not that ye be not judged. Now let us go ahead and bow our heads and kneel for a closing prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your continual manifestation of your great love and tender regard and kindness to each one of us. Father, forgive us for being slow to believe. Forgive us for our unbelief, but please increase our faith. And we understand that to have our faith increased requires us to exercise it, which then requires you to allow different emergencies to come in to our lives so that we can exercise our faith. Please help us to keep in mind what you are trying to accomplish within us through these emergencies, through these different situations and temptations and trials that meet us day after day. And help us to work in harmony with your will and thus have our faith and hope and trust in you increased so that we can go from taking baby steps into taking bigger strides and then from there into running and thus be able to gain that much more advancement than we were the day before. And dear Father, help us to rely upon you for the grace and strength to endure so that we may indeed complete the gospel race, cross that finish line hand in hand with Christ, and be able to gain the crown of eternal life because we've been victorious through our Savior, which has strengthened us each step of the way. Thank you so much for making possible our salvation. Thank you so much for your infinite, perfect love for each one of us. And we love you too. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God is so marvelous, dear ones. Well, let us take a few minutes break between now and our next service, and let us come back together for sweet fellowship in about 5 minutes, a quarter after 11. So we'll see you then.